We continue on in our series in the book of Acts, and we're in chapter 2. So far in our study, Christ has ascended into heaven. The disciples have returned to Jerusalem as Jesus had directed them. He wanted them to wait for the Helper, the Holy Spirit, that he was going to send to them as soon as he ascended to the right hand of God. And the disciples were together. They had been devoting themselves to prayer. The 12 of them were now together again with the selection of Matthias. And last week we began chapter 2 with all of them together in one place, 120 in all. It is the 50th day since Passover. It's a day that the Jews on the Jewish calendar call the day of Pentecost. And suddenly, the sound of a mighty rushing wind, in the Greek, a breath blast from heaven, sounded. And it filled the house where they were sitting. And then the appearance of tongues of fire came to rest on every single one of them. The Helper had come. What Jesus had promised that he would do, he had reached the right hand of his Father and he had sent the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit had come. He had arrived. God made sure that they were well aware of his coming, his presence among them, his presence in each one of them. And so they were then filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the mighty works of God in other languages. And a crowd was drawn to this sound that they were hearing. These people who had come to dwell in Jerusalem from every nation under heaven, each one was amazed because they were hearing the testimony of God's mighty works, not only in their own language, but it says in their native tongue, even in their own dialect. And they were hearing this from these Galilean followers of Jesus. And they were perplexed. They were wondering, what could it mean? Some mocked and they made light of it, saying that they were filled with new wine. And here is where we pick up at Acts chapter 2, verse 13. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and he addressed them. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. That in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, even on my male servants and female servants. In those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and the vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we all are witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received him from the Father, the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? That's as far as we're going to get today, if we get that far. Do you remember the Holy Spirit was being sent? And we understand that the Holy Spirit was being sent to the disciples to be a helper to them. Right? And we're pretty clear about all of the things that the Holy Spirit would be doing to help the disciples. But there was also one other role that the Holy Spirit had. If you remember in John's Gospel, chapter 16, you might want to turn there to John chapter 16, verse 8. There was another role that the Holy Spirit has when he would come. John chapter 16, verses 8 through 11. And when he comes, the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they don't believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you'll see me no longer. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. The Holy Spirit is going to be sent not just to help the disciples in the preaching of the gospel, but the Holy Spirit is being sent to the world so that all of those that are being saved, he's going to convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. For those of you that share the gospel, this should be something that's very encouraging to you. That whenever we are preaching the gospel, when we are ever sharing God's word, we can be assured that the Holy Spirit is in us, helping us to speak the truth, bearing witness to Jesus Christ. But at the very same exact time, we can be assured that if this is someone for whom Christ died, the Holy Spirit is going to be at work in their heart, convicting them of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. One of the Puritan writers that I really like, he wrote this. He said, he convinces of sin, the fact of sin, the fault of sin, the filth of sin, the fountain of sin, which is the heart, the fruit of sin, which is death. He makes sure that they understand they are guilty before God. He convicts the world that they are not right with him. And he convicts them of righteousness, Christ's righteousness, Christ who was righteous. He convicts them that Christ was without sin, that Christ was perfectly righteous, that Christ was obedient unto death, that Christ was the only one who ever was right with God. And he convicts of judgment. He convicts them that the ruler of this world will be judged, that all sin will be judged, that all iniquity will be punished. He convicts that there is a day coming, and it's near, the time is short, that judgment will come for sinners. The ruler of this world will be judged, and God will make all things right. I like how he pulls that together. We're not right, Christ is right, and God will make all things right. And the Holy Spirit is the one who will convict of the truth of those things, those truths of the Lord. The Holy Spirit convicts, and he says, prosecutes, testifies, and makes the case. He cuts to the heart of the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. This is why we need to be so careful with the gospel. This is why we don't need to get gimmicky. This is why we don't need to become door-to-door, hardcore salesmen. We need to be bold, but humble. Always understand that we need to be just like Peter, out there, standing for the gospel, but humble, always knowing that it is God who is going to be the one who's going to say. Bold and humble as we share it. We proclaim the truth of God's word to the best of our ability, trusting that His Spirit will both equip us to speak and enable them to hear. That He will be the one that will convict their hearts of sin, righteousness, and the reality of judgment. It's interesting, one of the things Alistair Begg said in one of his sermons that I really like, and we'll be talking about it more next week, is that as they are cut to the heart by His Spirit, then we respond to their appeal with the good news of the gospel. Did you hear that? We respond to their appeal with the good news of the gospel. That sounds different, doesn't it? It's because it's always what you always hear before is that we are the ones with an appeal. But when the Holy Spirit convicts the heart, what do they say at the end? What must we do to be saved? And we get to respond with good news. Repent and believe the good news. We speak the truth. Holy Spirit convicts. So, the disciples of Jesus, filled with the Spirit, speaking in many languages of the mighty works of God, foreigners gathered that have been living in Jerusalem are hearing this. They're blown away to hear these languages, hearing of God. They don't know what it means. They don't understand what's taking place. Some are even saying that they've had too much wine, as if somehow that explains it away. And verse 14, Peter, standing with the 11, And what's so interesting is this is the first sermon, and so oftentimes we jump into the sermon, but don't pass over this too quickly. Peter, standing with the 11, is important to pause for just a moment. It gets overlooked. The 12 are doing what? They're taking a stand together. They stand up. A crowd is gathering in Jerusalem, and the 12 are standing. In the midst of a great gathering crowd, they've come out of hiding. There's no more, where are the boys? They're here. They have arrived. They're here in Jerusalem, less than 60 days after the crucifixion, in front of a huge gathering crowd, standing together, filled with the Spirit. And Peter then, standing with the 11, lifts his voice and formally addresses the crowd. This is not the same Peter cowering next to a fire in front of a little servant girl. This is a new Peter. This is a Spirit-filled Peter. And so he stands with the 12. And he begins to speak. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. Do you hear the formality of this? He is basically standing up. This isn't just him talking to the people that are gathered there. He is basically standing up, and that's why you understand that it's a sermon. There's a sense that he's coming before them. He says, all right, now it's time for you to quiet down, and you need to listen up. I want to call your attention to what is taking place. I want to call your attention to God's word. I want to call attention to what God is doing. Kind of what we do every morning when we start the worship service. We have our license announcements, and then I always say, it's like, now let's call ourselves to worship. Let's bring our attention forward. Let's tune our ears. Let's pay attention. We're about to open God's word. Let's hear what God has to say. So he calls them to attention, no longer in hiding, no longer waiting. He starts to speak this first Christian sermon. And what does he address first? All of them are saying, what's happening? What is this? And so he starts, these people are not drunk as you suppose. I love that he starts this way, right? You know, he's mocking. And basically he starts off with that. He heard, you know, I've heard it. I heard what people are saying. Maybe they're drunk. Maybe they've had too much wine. He says, first off, they're not drunk. That's not what this is. And he goes, besides, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. And there's two references to that. One, this is Pentecost. This is the day of Pentecost. And on that day, on a feast day, there's usually fasting for the first 4 hours. So if they're going to get drunk, it's not going to happen until 10 o'clock. Right? So the fact that it's 9 o'clock, he's saying, we're going to be fasting till 10. So not even. Beyond that, even drunks don't get drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning. And so his point basically is, it's 9 in the morning. That's not it. That's not what this is. It isn't the wine speaking. Let me tell you what is. Let me tell you who is. Who is giving us utterance, giving us boldness. This is that what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And I love the Greek when you get in here, because when he uses this term, but this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. If you go back a little bit earlier, you understand that the Holy Spirit was giving them utterance. Same word used. What Luke is trying to show us is the very same Spirit that was at work in Joel, giving Joel the ability to write and to be able to say what was going on, is the same Spirit that is now giving them utterance. It's the same Spirit at work in them that's now giving them voice, allowing them to speak in these languages, allowing Peter to speak with boldness. Not accidental. The old King James says, this is that. And it's something that I really, there was actually an old Puritan book that was written that I actually put a bid on to try and get my hands on. And it's basically taking this and other places that the old King James talks about when the Old Testament was saying this, or when this is happening, it's pointing to that. And so there's a really easy way for us to start thinking about it. This is that. And so we're going to see how that pulls out right here as Peter begins to unfold it. What did the Holy Spirit utter to us through the prophet Joel? What was that? And so he quotes from Joel 2:28 through 32. And if you look at these verses that are kind of indented in your Bibles, he's quoting Joel, the prophet Joel. We read it in our scripture reading. In the last days, God declares, I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons, your daughters will prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days, I will pour out my Spirit, they shall prophesy. I'll show wonders in the heavens above, signs on the earth below, blood, fire, vapor of smoke. Sun shall be turned to darkness, moon to blood, before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. It shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He quotes from Joel. And what he brings out is the idea that he spoke of the last days. When Joel was speaking back then, and you're all aware of what Joel was speaking as the Spirit was giving him utterance, he was speaking of the last days. And Joel back then was speaking of those days. Those days where God would pour out his Spirit on all flesh. Those days that would come just before that last day. That last day, that great and awesome day, that day of judgment, that day of the Lord. Joel, way back then, spoke of the days, those last days, when the Holy Spirit would be poured out, young and old, servants, masters, to all of mankind. Side note. Beloved, he's done and is doing just that, is he not? From this point forward. The Spirit comes to each one who is being saved. God is saving countless millions from every nation, tribe, and tongue. From this day, until that last day, that's what the Holy Spirit is doing. And he'll continue until that day. It started here. And so Peter, by the Spirit, is reminding them what the Spirit had said through Joel about those days. This is that which is this. You start to see what he's doing? You're wondering, what's going on here? What Joel said was going to happen is now what's happening. This is that. He said a day was coming, a great and magnificent day, a day of the Lord. The Bible speaks of its imminence. What that means is it's definitely going to happen. It's coming. It's on the horizon. It's coming near. It's nearness. It's expectation. There's an urgency to it. This day of the Lord that's coming, beloved, Isaiah 2:12. For the Lord of hosts has a day against all that is proud and lofty, against all that is lifted up, and it shall be brought low. Isaiah 13:6 says, "Wail, wail, for the day of the Lord is near. As destruction from the Almighty, it will come." Joel, from our scripture reading, 2:1, "Blow a trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the Lord tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming." It is near. Obadiah 15, "For the day of the Lord is near upon all the nations. As you have done, it shall be done to you. Your deeds shall be returned on your own head." It's a day of reckoning. It's a day of wrath. It's a day of deserved judgment. It's a great and awesome day of the Lord. In the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians 5:2, it says, "For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night." It's going to come when you least expect it. It's going to come. Peter himself wrote in his second letter, chapter 3, verse 10, "The day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed." The day of judgment, where God's wrath is poured out in judgment against all sin and unbelief. This day where God says, "Enough. Time is up." But before that day, there are last days. There are days that lead up to that last day. And what Joel said is, in those days that lead up to that last day, Joel writes that God will pour out his Spirit in order to turn the hearts of his own back to him. That this pouring out of his Spirit will be one of the things that will take place in those last days. And Peter's telling these Jews, this is that. Peter here, by the Spirit, indicates that they've come. The last days are here. Do you remember Jesus began his ministry with the message, "The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is at hand." Matthew 12:28. The disciples, spending time with Jesus after the resurrection, remember the question they asked him? "So is the kingdom coming now?" There was that expectation that that day was right upon them, that kingdom is right around the corner. It's right upon us. Peter recognized that this outpouring of the Spirit was spoken of by Joel as a last day's event, and the Spirit was now being poured out. This is that. I will tell you, beloved, as I was looking at this and considering this in my office this week, I started thinking about the